You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Well, hello and welcome along to the William Hill Boxing Podcast with Steve Bunce. We've got a big weekend of boxing coming up. Two big names bidding to restore their reputations to a degree. Amir Khan back from the jungle and back in the ring. And Carl Frampton returns to action as well. My name is Mark Walton, joined on the line now by Steve Bunce. How are you, Buncey?
You've never been better. A double whammy, as they say in... Well, I'm not sure what sport they say it in, but it's a double whammy of fight.
It is. Great action to look forward to in Liverpool and in Belfast. We'll look at some of the best of the action along the way at both. And an interesting weekend, really. We'll get stuck into it in more detail, Buncey. But both of these men, the main headline events, have a bit of a point to prove, don't they, coming into this weekend?
Yeah, they do. And in all fairness, they've been given opponents which will hopefully allow them to prove that point. And they're both... Really, this is a semi-final. We're not quite sure what the final is for either of them. But we know that there'll be big fights for the pair of them in the summer or early autumn. And I mean really big fights. Khan might find himself outdoors against Kell Brook, and hopefully Frampton will find himself outdoors against this one of two guys for a world title. But they're big. These are big fights. And also, actually, one of them is particularly difficult and one of them is quite difficult.
We'll move on to those in more detail. We're going to start at the Echo Arena with one of the other fights on the card. Sean Dodd against Tommy Coyle. Sean Dodd has a record of 18 fights, 15 victories, 2 defeats and a draw. And Tommy Coyle, 23 wins and 4 defeats. It's very tight in the betting. 8-11 for Dodd. The draw 18-1 and Tommy Coyle is 11-10. Do you see it that tight yourself, Buncey?
I think it is that tight. And what's really interesting, if you don't mind me saying so, is that so often we have these undercard fights, you know, which are still title fights on these big nights, and the odds are generally ridiculous. I mean, stupid. You know, you know, 1-18 for the champion, for God's sake, and the guy who's the challenger is 42-1. So it's a delight and a pleasure to have a fight that's an absolute mix-em. And I think that's a fair reflection. I think that's a fair reflection of the fight itself. You're asking me to pick a winner. Phew, I'm not sure. Has Tommy Coyle got enough left? He's got enough in the bank. He's got enough in experience. Sean Dodd's on a bit of a roll and he's at home. So if you ask me, I'd go just for Masha, Sean Dodd, just for Masha on points. It will be a fight where there's very little in it. So, you know, I'm back in the bookies.
Sean Dodd on points then. He has been on a bit of a roll, as you say there, hasn't he? Since he lost and then drew with Scott Cardle, he's picked up this belt along the way and he's getting a bit of consistency about him all of a sudden, isn't he?
Yeah, he's getting a bit of consistency, and he's the fighter that's in the ascendancy. Tommy Coyle, 3 or 4 years ago, we thought he might get somewhere, then he got beat. He's always in great fights. He always takes risks. He always, you know, takes the opportunity. I just think that Masha Shaw might just be a little bit fresher tomorrow. Although saying that, Tommy Coyle has benefited from a fantastic training camp, both here and in the Canary Islands, alongside Carl Frampton. So, hey, that can also change the focus of a fight if you've had a brilliant 10 weeks. It's tight. I'm just going for Dodd, but you know what? I'm only putting about a pound down.
Dodd on points at 11-10 then, so if you put a pound on that, you'll get £1.10 on top of your pound there.
There we go.
Let's move on to the main event on that card. Amir Khan against Phil LoGreco. 1-20 for Amir Khan. The draw is 33-1 and LoGreco is 8-1. Amir Khan's first fight since that heavy loss to Canelo back in 2016. He had been on a pretty good run to that. He changed trainer. He's with Joe Goosen now, isn't he? What does he bring to Amir Khan?
Well, what Joe's done is something very sensible. The first thing he's done is once he's walked in is he hasn't said, we've got to change this, we've got to change that. He's been doing everything wrong, because that would be an insult to Amir Khan, 35 fights, 31 years of age. So if you start saying you've got to change things, what he said is we're going to tweak this, we're going to tweak that. We're going to have Amir Khan stay in what we call in boxing the pocket. So stay close if things get hairy, not back away, because it's when he backs away, that's when he lifts his chin up. There's nothing he can actually do to stop that. It's just something that happens. And that's when he gets caught. And that's how he's lost three of the four times he's lost has been when he's backed away. So Joe said, no, we're going to hold our feet. We're going to stay there. We're going to use our arms. We're going to do, you know, we're going to be careful. We're going to be careful as we come back. Hey, if Amir Khan had been doing that years ago, my gut feeling is he'd be undefeated in 35 fights, be close to retirement, and he would have been a world champion for about 7 or 8 years. No, in fact, 9 years. So that's what Joe brings to the table. And also, you know, just hundreds and hundreds of times when he's been the corner man in a fight where the corner man really is necessary. You know, we think about a trainer being a guy that does all the work for 12 weeks. Sure, he does all the work for 12 weeks or 10 weeks, but when he really earns his corn, when he really steps above the bar, when he really transcends, you know, just a batch of thousands of so-called good trainers, is during the 60 seconds between rounds. That's when you win fights for your fighter, and that's also when you lose fights for your fighter. And Joe is Joe in that position is one of the best at the moment, if not the best, actively working.
So plenty of positives for Khan and his new trainer. Then a line on Greco, his opponent. He's not really got that great of a record. He's never been 12 rounds either. His 2 10-round distance fights, he's lost on points to Sean Porter and Joseph Elegelli, or however you say that. And he's 8-1 in the betting. He's relatively unconsidered. It's very lopsided in Khan's favour. Should he make light work of this, Amir Khan?
No, not light work. I think he'll get to Le Greco in the last 2 or 3 rounds, sometime after around about 8. I think he'll get to him. But Le Greco is tough. He gets beat by good guys. And sure, he hasn't got that natural pedigree. But he's not an old man. And he's still got a bit of ambition. But more than that, he is proven in the stickability. He's proven to be, he can stick in with a fighter. So has Khan, you know, still got that pinging power that he had 10, 12 years ago? I'm not quite sure he has. I still think he'll get to Le Greco. But I don't think it'll be easy. I don't think it will look easy. You know, he's not going to walk through him in 2 or 3 rounds. And I'll tell you why he's not going to do that, because the whole thing here is about setting up a brilliant fight with Kell Brook in the summer. If he walks through Le Greco in a round, people will say Le Greco was rubbish. Bizarrely, we need Le Greco to go 8 or 9 rounds. Go figure. Boxing is the weirdest of the sporting businesses out there, trust me.
Yeah, it is, isn't it, really? Because if you're impressive, it's the other person's fault. It's not
you
doing well.
Yeah.
And if you're not impressive, then you're not good enough. So
absolutely. So you, sometimes you're going to lose.
Yeah.
So what we're trying to do here is we're trying to say, look, Khan needs a few rounds. He hasn't boxed since May, nearly 2 years, 23 months. So he needs a few rounds, tick, give him 8 rounds. He needs to not be in trouble, tick. And then he needs to eventually put the foot on the gas and stop him in 8 or 9 rounds, tick. That's the perfect storm victory. Bizarrely, you know, if he whacks him out in a round, people say he's still got his power. But I'd like to see a few rounds. Mm. 7 or 8 rounds, starts to get to him, stops him in about 9 or 10. That's the ideal bet. How does that look, bet-wise?
Well, Amir Khan to win rounds 7 to 12 is 11 to 8. Considering there's 1 to 20 to win the fight, that looks all right.
Yeah, not bad, is it?
Yeah. So Amir Khan, 7 to 12 is 11 to 8. If you fancy shortening that down and trying to get a bit more value, you can do 7 to 9 at 11 to 4 and 10 to 12 at 9 to 2. Maybe split your stakes on those if you want to go down that angle. But basically, to get to him 7 and onwards will be the idea. Right, let's move on to the action over in Belfast then. Just brief thoughts on these two to start with. We'll just fly through these. We've got Conrad Cummings against Luke Keeler. Cummings is 2-5 there. The draw 20-1 and Keeler is 15-8. And also, I want to get your thoughts on Zelani Tete at 1-50. The draw 33-1. And Navarez, his opponent, or Navarez, is 12-1. Are they as easy as that for the two favourites, if you like?
Well, no, I think the Cummings fight is a harder fight because, I'll tell you for why, because it's Irish v Irish and there's a lot of pride at stake. When you get pride at stake, your sense tends to go out the window. I fancy Conrad to do the business. He's been away also, like Tommy Coyle with Carl Frampton. He's got a few things to prove. He's changed trainer, left Shane McGuigan and joined up with Jamie Moore in Manchester. Yeah, so I fancy Conrad Cummings, but I'm not quite sure how I fancy him. I'd like to think you'd get to Tequila maybe late in the fight, but otherwise it's a long fight. It goes to points and Cummings wins. So my best bet would be Cummings on points. Now, the Tete fight's interesting because Narvaez has been a world champion, won a world title many years ago, like 16 years ago, 52 fights. But he's the kind of guy at the kind of weight where you can fight past your prime and still compete. So 1-50, wow! I mean, I expect Tete to be a favourite, but 1-50. If Tete can blow him away, can blow him away. And he has been blown away before. A couple of years ago, he got done away by a guy called Inui, a really dangerous Japanese fighter. Tete blowing him away is a good result. So, okay, so I'm thinking here that Tete knows something that we don't know, and the bookies are backing whatever it is that Tete doesn't know. So let's be bold, let's be optimistic, and let's say Tete, who is, I think, he's the best bantamweight in the world. I mean, I think he's by far the best bantamweight in the world. Let's go Tete, 4 to 5 rounds. What are we looking at there?
11 to 4 for that. Rounds 4 to 6. You can even have an extra round in there as well.
Okay. No, that ain't the end of the world, is it?
It is 1 to 50, mind you, so 11 to 4 on
exactly,
1 to 50.
Exactly, so we've created a bit of money, yeah.
Yeah, good stuff. Cummings on points as well, by the way, that's even money. So
okay, just one last one. What's Tete on points, in case Narvaez covers up and Tete can't get to him?
5 to 2.
Okay. All right, blimey. Okay, well, I'm going to go for the short. I'm going to go for about the four or five rounds, something like that.
Okay, so... gets to him in 4 and 5 then. Let's move on to the main events in Belfast. Carl Frampton against Nonito Donaire. Frampton, 25 fights, 24 wins and a defeat last time out. Takes on Donaire, who's had 42 fights, an experienced fighter. 38 wins, 4 defeats for him. I suppose this is all about Carl Frampton continuing his climb back from that first loss against Leo Santa Cruz. He's had out of the ring problems as well, hasn't he? He's had a messy fallout with Cyclone. He's got a new trainer in Jamie Moore. Not ideal, really, for Frampton, but he's 1-6 to win the fight. The draw 25-1, wow. And Donaire is 7-2.
Well, I posed a question on Twitter today, and it's a simple question. Is Nonito Donaire the best fighter in the British ring this weekend? And most people on Twitter seem to agree with me. So that 1-6, I think, is particularly harsh. I think it's a really hard fight. I think if Carl is carrying some mental scars, which he's been building because of this court case he's got against his former manager and promoter and trainer, the McGuigans, Shane and Barry, respectively. If that's there, and he admits that's there, but he says it's not worrying me, well, he's talking about it. So that, to me, is slightly worrying. And Danair knows this is... Carl's trying to make out this is the last spin of the dice for him. It isn't. If he were to lose, then he's got to drop down a couple of pay brackets. Whereas for Danair, it really is the last spin of the dice. You know, he's been around and at the top for an awful long time. He's a terrific fighter, and I think that he's the one that's got fewer places to go, and I think he's the one that's prepared with that in mind, and that does give a fighter a bit of urgency and make him dangerous. I fancy Frampton. I fancy it's going to be really hard. I'll be stunned if it's easy. I fancy it goes the whole 12, and I fancy Frampton wins, and I think he might pull away in the last couple of rounds. But it's a tough fight if Frampton's carrying a bit of baggage into the ring, and if Danair is as sharp as we keep hearing, then we've got a fight on our hands in Belfast, a real fight on our hands in Belfast.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a mug, is he, Danair? He's 24 knockouts in his career. He's been the distance in 3 of his last 4. I suppose the only question with him is he just starting to go over the hill a little bit now?
Well, no, we know he definitely is. He's definitely peaked. Okay, he's never going to be as good as he was maybe 4 or 5 years ago. But he is not on the slide. Now, there's a difference. You know, he's as good as he's ever going to be. And he might be that good again, but he's not going to be better than that. But that Donaire can beat Frampton. Don't worry about that. So, you know, is this a last hurrah for Nonito Donaire? You know, is he going to win this featherweight title to go with his collection of other weights? You know, because it's an interim WBO title. You know, I think this is a really dangerous fight. It's a really bold fight. It's an old-fashioned type of fight because the winner really doesn't just go places. It's a real statement fight. It's a big fight. I think when this was announced, I thought it was too good to be true. And then when it was signed and sealed, I knocked my hat to Frampton for pushing through it. I fancy Frampton. I fancy him strong, but I fancy him on points.
4-7 for Carl Frampton to win on points there then. Is this one of those things with Frampton that thought, well, we've had the first defeat, things have gone wrong, this is the way to suddenly right all those wrongs, if you like? You come in against Donaire, you come into a big fight again, you get back to winning ways, and suddenly all those problems seem to just melt away a little bit.
Absolutely. There's nothing like making your problems go away if you can line up a fight in front of 40,000 people at Windsor Park in the summer, and that's what he's going for. That's the aim. That's the reason why this fight is there. It's a semi-final for a massive world title fight sometime in the summer. We're not sure who against, whether it's the WBO champion, Oscar Valdez, or whether it's the winner of Lee Selby against Josh Warrington, which takes place in about a month's time. But it's a massive outdoor event, and that's what Frampton's got. He's got an awful lot of expectation, awful lot of weight on his shoulders. And he's a big character in a big fight city, and his nerves are going to be a crucial factor once the first bell sounds at the SSE on Saturday night. I do fancy Frampton. He's had one win since that loss, and that was a really hard fight, the perfect type of fight. You know what? 25 years ago, Frampton would have fought someone now that couldn't stand up. Then he would have fought someone else that couldn't stand up. Then he would have been given a world title fight. Our modern business demands more of the fighters, really demands more of the fighters. This is a hard fight.
Should be a tough one on Saturday evening then. While you've been telling us your selections on the way, Bunty, I've been knocking together a little bit of an acca for us for Saturday.
Go on, Sam.
Dodd on points at 11-10. Amir Khan rounds 7-12 at 11-8. Conrad Cummings on points at even money. Zalani Tete rounds 4-6 at 11-4. And Carl Frampton on points at 4-7. 58-1 that.
Get in, my son. 58-1. It's like giving up. You can print money. You can print money with those odds.
Superb.
Oh,
one last thing before you go, Bunty, if I may. We're not too far away from Bellew here too, are we? So I just want to get your thoughts on that. 2-1 Bellew, the draw 28-1, David Hay 2-5. Immensely looking forward to that. Is David Hay over the line? The odds are heavily in his favour. Don't forget he got beat in the first meeting between the two.
Listen, he got beat in the first meeting, but he was winning until his Achilles went. It's an interesting fight. The whole thing's interesting. You know what? It's one of those fights, and people say to me, you can't do that. Yes, I can. I'm going to hold my judgment. I might even hold my judgment till fight day, because I want to see them together. I want to see how they look physically. I want to see how David Hay looks physically. I want to see if he's really trained with an injury or not trained with an injury. I want to see how marked up Bellew looks. I want to see how they are when they're around each other. I just want to get a feeling of how it is. I fancied Hay big time in the first fight. I fancy Hay a lot less in this fight, but I still fancy Hay. I think I still fancy Hay, yeah. You know, all he has to do is do what he did for the first five rounds last time. He won five of the first five rounds. I think he must have won five of the first five rounds on two of the three scorecards, because he didn't win a round after that. And the way that the scorecards were turned in suggested he'd only lost about six rounds. Well, he was six rounds hobbling on one leg. So it's an interesting thing. It's really interesting. We forget the first five rounds. We just remember when Bellew started to get to him in the sixth round when Hay kept falling over, and that's because Hay had ruptured his Achilles. He had nothing he could do. So we forget. We forget an awful lot about that fight because we remember the outcome and the chaos and the mayhem and the acrimony. We forget the first five rounds when David Hay won the fight, was winning. I mean, let's get, you know, after five rounds, he was winning. Bellew only wins it on the scorecards by 2 or 3 points. And when you think about it, for five rounds, he was fighting a one-legged man. So you've only got to do the sums to work out, oh my gosh, that means Hay was well in front before he ruptured his Achilles. Now, of course, what the argument is, Hay was going to blow up anyway. Okay, well, Hay's argument is that I was going to get to Bellew anyway. So that's why this fight is poised.
Yeah.
What has surprised me is how low-key everything's been. And all I can imagine is that they both had their wrists very severely slapped by the British Boxing Board of Control after all of the shenanigans before the last fight. And having had their wrists slapped, they know they've got to behave themselves. It's a good fight, though.
Mm-hmm. It'll be very interesting when we see them together in the weigh-ins.
It will indeed.
Yeah. Got that to look forward to later on. Thank you very much, Bunty. Been an absolute pleasure as always. Good luck and enjoy it this weekend.
Top boy, speak to you later. Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.